All right, welcome today. We have a special treat today. My wife is up here assisting me. Looks like she's got a lot of...
We don't know if that's special or not.
Hey, can we turn these fluorescent lights on in the sanctuary too? Thank you. All right, so today we're going to be continuing the series on our daily bread. And scripture Lord laid on my heart as we're starting this. Remember, we're doing the 21 days of prayer with Church of the Highlands out in, I think, Alabama. And, you know, they do this every year, twice a year, so I wouldn't mind participating, at least myself, and hopefully as a church. Hope many of you are taking advantage of this. We got 1 week left, so if you haven't done it yet, I encourage you to hop in. Matthew 6:11 talks about, give us this day our daily bread. And that's kind of what the theme is the Lord laid on my heart a little bit for this series about what we're doing, how daily we need to be in the things of God. And let's just open in prayer, then we'll get started here. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the Holy Spirit being with us every step of the way. Lord, just lead us and guide us. We thank you for the daily bread you've given us. And Lord, stir up the gift in my wife and myself. And Lord, help us to use that for your glory. And we bind Satan from trying to bring interference or disturbance in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we talked about the concept of how important it was to pray, but also the idea of the freshness of God, how prayer makes it fresh and keeps it fresh. Now today, I kind of want to go over into the area of the presence of God, how important it is to be in God's presence, and that when we pray, it brings the presence of God, even though he's there all the time. You know, he comes into our life, and it really makes a difference. And so that's what prayer does. And I just want to start off and share a couple things to kind of set this up a little bit. You know, in the Old Testament, they had a thing called a tabernacle, and they also had a temple. Now, the tabernacle was temporary, and the temple was stone-built, so it was a little more sturdy. But inside that was two major rooms. We have the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy of Holies is where the presence, the manifest presence of God, that's where he came down and he hung out around the Ark of the Covenant and things like that that was in there. But in the other room, there were several things, and one of the things that was in there was called the bread of presence. And every week on the Sabbath, they would put new bread in there. And that bread, the priests would eat it, and then it kind of resembled the presence of God. We have to remember, you know, God was a holy God, and, you know, even history kind of talks about in the fact that the Jewish priest, the high priest, would go into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer blood for the sacrifice of sin. Some say tradition said they tied a rope on his leg because if he wasn't quite right, he would drop dead. Kind of like the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. The presence of God, and not wanting to scare anybody about prayer, but that's just kind of how serious it was back then. Now, I can't imagine what those priests kind of thought, because they was in this room and right next door was God. Only thing separating them was a little curtain. And I can't imagine what it was like to walk in that room wondering, am I good enough to be in here? And I wonder if sometimes you and I kind of think about that ourselves. I wonder if that's why we don't pray as much as we should, is because we don't feel good enough. Well, the good news is, when Jesus died and rose again, that curtain was ripped. Amen. The manifest presence of God was no longer held in that little room, but now he lives inside of us. Amen. And so we can practice the presence of God and how important it is. Now, one thing in the Old Testament, Moses, you know, he was a man of God, and what he did, remember, he had that conversation with God. He told God, he says, unless your presence go, I don't want to go. And I come to the conclusion that if God's presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go either. That's why you and I need to learn how to practice the presence of God. So as we jump into this, remember, you know, Jesus is the bread of life, and all these things are interconnected, you know, and we're just trying to tie some things together. Because to me, prayer time is manna time. And that's how we get close to God. Now, full disclaimer, I think my wife would attest to this too, and I think anybody in here would. Not every time in prayer is awesome. I mean, you know what I mean? Sometimes, has anybody ever fell asleep when they prayed? You know? Sometimes it just ain't, you know, happening. And so I don't want to make it sound like, you know, every time we pray that, oh, wow, I just get the goosebumps in the presence of God, because what's going to happen is some of y'all are going to start praying, and then you're not going to feel God. You say, well, God must not love me, because that's not true. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, it's not, you know, if you eat an apple a day, you know, keep the doctor away, right? Eating one apple won't make a difference. But if you keep eating fruit or keep eating healthy food over a process of time of years, you're going to have a healthier lifestyle. And it's like that with prayer. Anytime you just start praying and starting to get into the presence of God, there's sometimes you just don't want to leave that place. Other times you just can't wait to get out of there, man, because you got stuff you want to do, you know? So just hang in there and keep praying, and yeah.
I just wanted to share, too, how prayer has made such a difference in my life. Even when we went to when I went to Bible school and Brad was there, too, the teachers one day gave a scripture for each one of the students, and mine was, Denise, you don't have a lot of confidence. And so, but they said, because you're putting your confidence in who you are and not in who God is. And so they gave me a scripture that talked about putting my confidence in Him. And I'll tell you, they were right. I didn't have a lot of confidence. I think I was a nice person, but I didn't have a lot of confidence. But as I started praying, and I've looked over the years, and I used to be one of those people who fell asleep during praying. And my sister told me, write your prayers down, that way you won't fall asleep. You know, and I did that for a year, kept them in a journal, looked back and watched and saw how God answered all those prayers, every single one of them. And so just how prayer, like he said, if you do it on a consistent basis, it builds that personal relationship with Jesus. And it starts taking on, not about your life isn't just about you, but when you focus on Him, it's about His presence and who you are in Him. And that makes the confidence, your confidence is built up, because you're not relying on what you do, what you say, how you act, you know, your abilities. It's on who He is. And that has been a life changer for me.
Amen. My wife is a prayer warrior. I've just watched her over the years. She's always in there praying, you know, in the morning and writing her prayers down. And, you know, this time at this prayer thing with the Church of the Highlands, I've started, you know, as God kind of tells me things, I just type it on my laptop and just keep track. So it is good, because God will speak to us and give us some ideas. Unless we write them down, odds are you're going to forget them. Of course, you can always claim John 14:26. He's going to bring it to your remembrance. But I still think, I've always learned in Bible school, the shortest pencil's better than the longest memory. So, you know, write things down. So these are some thoughts that came to us this week during prayer, and I shared some last week. When our worship life improves, our prayer life improves. What do you think about
you're
that?
You're not going in order, are you?
Okay. I moved the order around.
You did move the order around. You didn't tell me.
You didn't get the memo, I take it.
No, worship is an intimate thing, you know, because it really is getting your eyes off of you, which is nice because, you know, in this world, there are so many distractions, like Brian said, that can try to steal and rob our attention. And there are so many, right now, volatile things going on in our country and world that, you know, really can bring fear and stuff into our hearts. And when we worship, it's taking the focus off of all those things and putting them on who is God. You know, who is God? What is He like? And I'll tell you, when you enter into that, that is when His presence falls and He touches you and He calms you and He brings the peace that you need. And then you're praying from a different perspective. You know, you're not praying from fear and need. And
you know, the Bible says, you know, God inhabits the praises of His people. So maybe if you're sitting down to pray and it just doesn't seem like it's happening. I mean, we have such great technology. I mean, when I first started out as a Christian, you know, we didn't have YouTube and stuff like that. But you can just plug on a worship song and sing a little worship song and just get alone with God. Maybe don't crank it up if other people sleeping in the house, but, you know, they should be up praying too, so maybe go ahead and crank it up.
I'm going to tell on Scarlett. We had Moms in Prayer, and we started our prayer walk around the administration building, and she came in her Jeep, and of course it has none of the doors or anything on it. And so when Scarlett comes in, the music's just blaring, the praise of God, you know, she just comes in and enters in with the praise, and then as she leaves, the music is blaring, and it's just going out so everybody hears it. It was pretty cool.
Amen. That's good. So yeah, you can try that, you know, if that maybe primes the pump. Amen. Not buy a Jeep unless you want to. But I mean, put a worship song on first. Okay, so that'll be good. One of the quotes I heard this week was, prayer helps us walk on what other people drowned in. You know, talking about, you know, Peter walking on the water. You know, it takes that connection with God to really be close to God, you know, to step out of that boat, number one. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, a lot of people are sinking in life today. You know, this COVID thing and different things have got them down. You know, by faith, you know, if we have a good prayer life, it's that presence of God and connection. I think it takes the fear away.
It does.
You know, it delivers you from that. And, you know, what do you...
Well, with Peter especially, you know, only two people have ever walked on water. And
I did last winter.
Oh. Okay, three. No, I'm kidding. Water, not ice,
yeah.
Not
water.
Ice.
Okay, mine
yeah.
Was hard water.
Okay. All right, but with Peter, what it was is it takes an extraordinary person to do that. You know, somebody who is willing to keep their eyes, and the only way it happened is when he focused on Jesus totally. There were waves going on around him, but he still got out of the boat because his eyes were focused on Jesus, and he said, you know, if it's really you, tell me. And that's how we need to be. We need to be pinpoint focused on Jesus because that'll help us to step out of the boat. But when he did look at the waves of like COVID and finances and maybe the economy and all these other problems, fear and anxiety come in, he started to sink. And prayer is going to help us with our focus. One of the scriptures that I wrote down was 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, and it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Prayer helps our mind to focus, and that's what helps us to stay focused on Jesus then. So the more we pray, the more we are taking every thought captive and bringing it and saying, okay, the circumstances, they're around me, but God, I'm going to focus on you. I need help, you know? And so that really helps us to take those thoughts captive and to be able to step out, because otherwise those waves are going to make us fall and we're going to sink, just like Peter did. If we focus on our circumstances, if we focus on how we feel, we can't. We can't afford to. And as Christians and believers, the world needs us to yeah. Start taking captive our thoughts and start praying and start making a difference. Our strength doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. The miracles don't come from us. They come from Him. So we've got to be focused on Him.
Amen. So. Also, I think it's a timing issue, too, that, you know, Peter only jumped out of the boat at the right time. Yeah. You know what I mean? When he saw Jesus, I mean, sometimes I think that we could hear the stories about somebody else praying and we think we can just get out of the boat. But if you don't have that close connection with God, you probably will sink. You know, you have to have that connection. And I think God has some timing things in our
yeah,
life and
definitely.
Things. So, you know, so we're right where God wants us when He wants us. And that comes by, you know, a strong connection with Him, and that comes by that intimacy that only comes through that life of prayer. You know, something the Lord always drops on my heart, and I like to share this from time to time. Scripture found in Philippians 4:11, I'm not going to read it, but the idea that prayer helps us to live dependent or live independent of our circumstances. And see, I think that's a promise of God, that we can live independent of our circumstances. Paul learned how to live when he had a lot. And when he had a little, it didn't change how he lived. And I think a lot of people struggle with that, that when they have a lot, they're high rolling, everything's good, and oh, I'm excited about God, God meets my needs. But then when they have a little, when things maybe get kind of run a little short, oh, poor me, God's forsaken me, you know. But see, I believe that intimacy with prayer, that connection that we have with God, it means that, you know, it doesn't really matter what this world system gives us or what we have in this world. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the presence of God and to be right where God wants you to be. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, we've been in ministry quite a few years and did some things, you know, that well beyond our capability and our faith. And, you know, there's been some times you get a little bit rattled, you know, because you start looking at the natural. But, you know, fortunately through time, you know, God, I believe, has helped through that that close connection. And, you know, the Word of God, all these things interact together. But, you know, that intimacy with God, you know, we've been able to live independent of those circumstances, and that's important.
Do you know, intimacy is really, that word is what's so key, is because prayer really does promote an intimacy. I can remember even our pastors, before we got married, they said, now don't you guys pray a lot together until you get closer to the wedding? Because it creates an intimacy. So as we pray together, it creates a bond and an intimacy between us, you know? But that's what it does with Jesus too, and yeah. God.
Amen.
It creates a different view. You're not seeing God, and I guess I'm jumping ahead here.
That's okay.
Is that okay? You're not praying out of need, like, oh God, I need this, oh help me. And I must admit, I was a very needy person all the time and stuff, and I did need God. And that's what I usually always prayed about, is help, help, help. You know what I mean? And always asking. But when you really get to start praying more, he's changed the way I pray, because that fellowship I had with him, he reveals himself. He starts answering those prayers. You start seeing how loving he is. You start seeing how he really cares about me. Oh, wow. I mean, I haven't been faithful, and he still hears me and answers me. You know? I mean, so it builds that intimacy that makes you want to go back to him, makes you want to seek him and have that.
And it helps us not to want what we shouldn't want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that's an issue in our lives. We want things that we shouldn't really have, you know, because they're dangerous or bad for us in our life. And if we get close to God, it takes away the fleshly desires, the desires in our life that lead us away from God. You know, we shouldn't want to be like the world, you know, but yet we compare ourselves to the world and everything that it has. So I think that intimacy in prayer, because, you know, as we're talking about living independent, you know, what I've noticed, it changes how we react to whatever life throws at us. Has anybody ever lost their cool and freaked out or got mad? You know, I'm not saying we're never going to do that again, but I'm just saying that I do know when my prayer life is stronger, things don't bother me when they just come out of the blue. You know, those attacks that come in from, you know, multiple directions from the devil all at one time. You know, because what's important, it's, you know, a lot of people focus on how they act, but I believe that we need to focus on how we react. Because anybody can act and put on a show, but it's how we react, that's what's really down in there. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, intimacy and prayer, and it helps us to be comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, with what's going on and with our relationship with God, that we can, it comes back to a level of trust. And that's really what it does, is a prayer brings trust in our life. And, you know, my wife and I trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a little bit of time to get to know each other. And it's like that with God. And we get to know him, then we start to develop that trust, and
that's right.
Life's easier now, you know,
oh, yeah.
when you don't have, yeah. At least our marriage is. Come on, somebody. All
Thank
right.
you, God. Lots of prayer.
We won't talk about yesterday. No, I'm just kidding.
That was yesterday.
What about the idea that we can't handle the storm in public if we don't win the battle in private?
Well, and this is where,
with
Peter and getting out of the boat. You know, Peter did it as a temporary. And I think what it is we have two examples here. You have an example of a Christian who did it temporarily, walked on water, you know, really stood in faith and power, okay? But Jesus did it always. But why, what was the difference? You know, why did Peter only do it partially, and why do we only see our prayers? Sometimes we have faith for something and other times we don't. Why is that? And it's because, what are we doing in private? Are we really having that relationship with God? And I think you probably want to go into this more, is that Jesus always, every day, went away to spend time with his Father. That is where his strength factor was. It's kind of like Superman, or Clark Kent, I should say. Clark Kent had the phone booth. And Clark Kent went into the phone booth, you know, and then he was changed into this strong person of Superman, you know, who could do anything, the impossible. Well, that is what God is calling us to do, but it's our prayer time. It's our closet. Where is your prayer closet? Is it really there every day that's going to make you turn into something supernatural and strengthen to be a help? Because Superman always went out. The only reason he went into that phone booth is to help people, you know, to do something. And that's what God is calling us to do. We get to be the light. We get to be that, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the miracles of who he is with the world. But that's going to come from having our prayer closet.
Amen. You know, Jesus would preach by day and pray by night. And that's something a lot of preachers need to listen, or any Christian really does. We wonder why we don't have a lot of anointing on our life. It's because of prayer. You know, there's a difference between the call God has on your life and then the preparation aspect of what we do to make ourselves better. You know what I'm saying? And so the words that we share as we do evangelism and do different things, if we're a person of prayer, those words have a stronger anointing and they carry weight on them than if we have a casual relationship with God. You know what I mean? And we just kind of live our life and every now and then we expect God to show up. Now, he will a lot of times, and God's the one, the Holy Spirit anoints it, but I've just found in my life that it all tracks back to that daily time that we spend, you know, building ourselves up, you know, in whatever way, shape, or form that we feel, you know, that we need to. So, what about the idea prayer can make the impossible possible?
Well, that's kind of like what I was just saying, is that, you know, and prayer, you know what I mean? I have a friend who's, she was, my friend Wendy has a sister-in-law who had a heart issue. They had found out, and she needed a heart transplant. And she's only like 40 years old, and she had two young kids. And the doctors really, I mean, they put her on the transplant list, but then they found out she's got all these antibodies that are so, you know, weird, and then she had problems, and she had to go on a ventilator, she had to be taken off the list, all these kind of things. And she wasn't good for a heart transplant then. And so the doctors are not giving a good report at all, and this is going on for a month's time. And Wendy and her brother would not give up. Hey, prayer warriors, I need you to pray, I need you to pray, I need you to pray. And something in my heart told me, God, I don't want them to have to wait for someone to die to get that heart fixed. You can fix it. And you know what? The doctors all of a sudden came along and they said, you know what? I think we can fix this. That was God. Amen. You know what I mean? Because for a month they had said, you need a transplant. We can't do anything. You know? And so they didn't give up. That's what I look at. And I just got to see a picture of her on Facebook this morning. She's up and she's got a t-shirt and she says, hey, shopping is my cardiac, you know, cardio fitness and stuff. And it's just so exciting to see what God did, but they didn't give up. Our prayers, we can't give up. We give up too easy.
Yeah, we're more microwave people, you know.
Yeah.
We don't really understand the concept of, you know, the old time prayer wars. I have a book I read, I haven't read it for a year or so, but I used to read it once or twice a year. And it was about prayer. I just listened to the stories of, you know, the old prayer wars and how they prayed through. And, you know, what just amazed me, I mean, you've probably heard of Smith Wigglesworth, and I was reading his book too. Talked about people getting filled with the Holy Spirit and things. And here's a guy that rose people from the dead. You know what I'm saying? He had several people that were risen from the dead in his ministry. So you just think that when he prays, bam, it just happens right then. Well, it talks about his story and his life account different times that he would pray with somebody and he would stay there and he would pray. And it might be 3 or 4 in the morning before he quit. Most of us, we shut down about 11. You know what I'm saying? We're done. We're time to go to bed. You know, I've prayed the prayer of faith. I'm moving on. But, you know, just see the idea of tenacity and following through and how important that is. You know, we need to also see that point of it. You know, has anybody ever felt like you were praying uphill? You know, we feel that way sometimes. But see, that's our perspective problem. You know, we have a perspective issue. You know, we need to see ourselves praying from a place of victory. See, the devil wants us to feel like we're praying uphill all the time. And I don't know about you, I'd rather go downhill than uphill, right? And so how important it is to be able to see ourselves where God has placed us in his plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are prayer warriors. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to stand in the gap. And what that means is, let's say, you know, you have somebody that has a problem and you just stand in between them and the problem and you pray for them. And just pray that through so that, you know, they'll be able to walk in that victory. And, you know, we need to see ourselves as victorious and people of faith and the people of God. And that you know, just children of the King, and that when we do this, prayer should just be one of the most natural. My wife, you know, you got to watch her, you know, sometimes. She'll pray at the drop of a hat, you know, just an illustration. I did the funeral last Tuesday, and we was up there at the luncheon afterwards, and there was a couple kids there that used to be in our youth group and come to our church, and they were there, and I was standing there, and all of a sudden, one of them was telling how they have a problem. Denise grabbed his hand and started praying. I mean, just grabbed him, and they didn't know what to do. I mean, it rocked their world, you know. It was kind of cool, but she does that. She believes in prayer. And that's I tease her a little bit, but it's all good.
I have a short-term memory problem, so if I don't pray right away, hey.
Everybody bowed their head around the table. I mean, they were in it. I said, yeah. But it was good. But we need to
but
be,
you know,
like that.
We do need to see our place and what position that we have in prayer. And I loved it because in one of the days that we had, he was talking about how in the Old Testament, people were servants of God. You know, God was their master. And so, you know, the master always takes care of their servants. And that's a good place to be. You know, that's fine. But the New Testament, with Jesus' blood, it came in that we became sons. Now, sons have access to the Father's house, you know? And so they have access. But then Jesus takes it even a step further, if we really want to. We're the bride. The bride has full access. Yeah. And he was saying how we need to pray as that we are the bride of Christ. We have full access to what God has. We can pray those kind of prayers. So we need to be praying from that place of full access, knowing that there's nothing impossible. Jesus has defeated everything. I love the song, Brian. That's a new one that we prayed about, the cross, the finished work of Jesus. It's done. That's how we need to pray. We need to pray from the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the cross.
Amen. That's important. One thing to remember about prayer in Scripture, the disciples came up and asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. So evidently, Jesus must have had some powerful prayer life. He didn't ask them, you know, they didn't ask him, Lord, teach us how to heal the sick. You don't see that in Scripture, really. Ask him, or Jesus, how do we take up a good offering? You know, things like that. They wanted to know, how do we pray? Because they could see the power that was in his life, that there was something different about him. You know, this is before they even probably understood he was the Son of God and how all that kind of is interconnected with each other. But they could really see what his prayer life was like. He would go away and he would just come in with power. And the words that he spoke had authority. And see, I believe prayer will bring us to a place of authority on this planet. That's the connection that we have with God. And then we can, you know, be able to do that. So it's important, you know, that we see just the fact that the disciples thought it was important. So, amen. And journal, like you write your thoughts down, that's very important. Now, what about the idea of prayer is a time to pause and ponder? Prayer is a time to pause and ponder. What does that do for our life? You know, in a hectic schedule, you know, the last thing you want to do is pray. You know, when you're too busy and you got so many things you want to do, the last thing you want to do is stop what you're doing and pray, or you want to get up and just get going with things.
But, you do. Yeah. I'll tell you, prayer time is a good time, and it is a good place that you have a quiet place to go when you do pray so that you can ponder. Because you know what? It's going to start showing you who God is. Who is he really? I mean, the more that you really know how precious and how important you are to God, how valuable, and how he's pursuing you every day. His thoughts are pursuing you. His love, his protection, his goodness. He's always wanting to pour into you. And when you start seeing what he's really done, how he's overcome everything at the cross, you can sit there and then you can. If you ponder on that, then it's easy to come to him and say, these are my problems. This is the issues. These, you know. And like another point that you said is it helps take your focus off of just yourself. I'll tell you, when you draw close to God and have him, who he is, really get to know him in that time, it makes you see that your problems aren't so big, and he starts reminding you of what other people. Oh, I can pray for them. I can do this. You know what I mean? And the focus goes off of you. So when you take that time to ponder on who he is, it's amazing how it takes the focus off of you and takes, you know, all the...
It puts our spiritual needs ahead of our physical needs.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? That's kind of important because we are so physical oriented in this world and all these things that are so important to us. But if we get to the place in our life where we see that our spiritual life is the most important, and when we take care of that, then we're going to see that things are going to fall in place. You know, one thing Lord spoke to me is prayer is a time to pull away from the world, but it's not a time to put our back on the world. You know, God cares about the lost. He cares about you, and he cares about me, but he really cares about the lost, those who are separated from him. And I think that when we pray, you know, it helps us to see that connection. You know, deep inside, I think we want everybody to be able to experience what we have, is that relationship with God. Not everybody has that. Not everybody's going to get it either. Some people are just going to turn their back on God, and that's just the way it is. But we don't know who they are. You know, like I've always said, when I was younger, you know, there were some Christians around me, and they tried to hook me and get me in, but I knew they was up to something, so I stayed away from them. You know, I didn't want no piece of that. I was in the partying and doing all this. Well, then years ago, I ran into the guy out in Denver, and he said, "Man, I never thought there was any hope for you." You know, but God got a hold of me. So you don't really know, and that's why we need to pray, you know, that God will give us the right equipment to be able to fish with and to be able to bring them, you know, into the kingdom of God. Prayer is not about, this kind of ties in, prayer is not about isolation, but about seclusion. It's about privacy and intimacy.
You know, when people get wounded and hurt, so many times they don't go to God. They take on those wounds, and what they do is they run away, they hide, and they don't want life to hurt them anymore, and so they shield themselves from really living. Whereas God is saying, come to me. I am the answer. I'm going to heal your heart, you know? And so when you go to God in prayer and you surrender those hurts and wounds over to him, that is when he can heal us, restore us, and help us to live life. So that we're not hidden away and just, you know, wounded all the time and holding on to that.
Because we're supposed to be a light in the world, and we're not supposed to isolate ourselves. And, you know, some Christians can kind of get that mentality sometime, maybe if they have been hurt or you know, or maybe, you know, I think it traces back to a self-image issue that, you know, sometimes Christians need to feel that they're better than other people, you know, better than a sinner. And there are some Christians that feel that way, and that's wrong. You know, it's not the right kind of thinking, you know, but the reason where that stems from is due to their insecurity in their life. And so they come to that and they isolate themselves and they get the us for no more syndrome or the frozen chosen, is what we call them. You know, but God, you know, says more the merrier. You know, bring them in. You know, pray them in. You know, and that's what we need to do. And Jesus said, pray for the Lord, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers. You know, maybe you're too scared to go. Pray that somebody will. Somebody will take your place, and then also pray that God will take that fear away. Okay? All right, we're going to do one more, and then we're going to stop. Prayer helps us take the pain of yesterday and turn it into stepping stones for tomorrow.
I'm going to let you go with that one, and then I'll maybe add.
Then what?
I'll maybe add something.
Okay. You know, a lot of us have been through life, and nobody goes through life without pain, without things happening that maybe ain't fair. Some of it's self-inflicted, some of it's just devil-inflicted, or whatever the case may be. But what happens is that when we come away with God, and we get alone with him, and we kind of quiet ourselves down, then we kind of see that different perspective. And we can take that pain and see that that pain is not really who we are. That pain is only going to make me better. Because I turn to God and God heals that, and then I use that as a stepping stone to get to the next level of where God wants me to be. And it's important that we do that, because if we don't have that kind of intimacy, and that brings that kind of healing, because, you know, maybe, you know, you've had a bad marriage. Maybe you have one right now. Maybe you've had some things go on in your life, and, you know, maybe your friends have stabbed you in the back. You know, all these things we go through. And those affect us, and it holds us back and makes us not want to, it makes us isolate and not be able to go into the place where we can get that healing, that touch from God. And then if we do that, you know, then we can use that as a launching pad to use that and just throw that in the devil's face and go out and help people that had the same pain that we have.
Amen.
And bring them into the kingdom.
That's right.
Amen.
There is this devotional that I read, and it was a mother who had given her daughter a Bible when she was going off to college. And in it, she wrote, we give you this book to be your sure guide in an unsure world. Read it, study it, love it, live it, and pray it. In it, you will find a verse for every occasion. Hide those verses in your heart. And you see, really, it all comes down to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, having that communication and fellowship with Jesus and the Lord God. He wants us to pray. He wants us to talk to Him, and that's what prayer is talking. It's getting to share our ugly side. It's getting to be the truth and saying, I have doubt, I have fear, I have this, but God, I know that with you I can overcome, that I don't have to stay in my old self. I get to live in new life. You've made me your bride, and you've given me full access to the kingdom of God. Help me to start walking in that. Help me to start praying that. Help me to start living and walking in it. But it takes the Word of God. We've got to put the Word of God in. We've got to know who our God is. Amen. We need to know Jesus is a good God. And so without any of those things, you know, they all are intertwined so much. The Holy Spirit is what's going to give us revelation. The Holy Spirit, it says as we put the Word of God in, it's going to start transforming us. It has the power to transform us. We just have to keep putting it in and keep communicating with Him. And it will do the work and change us. I'm so thankful for God because, like I said, I was not a confident person. But I just think, I know I'm not the smartest person, to tell you honestly, but I don't always feel dumb or anything because I know the truth. And I might not know a lot of things about what's going on in the world or, you know, science or all this other stuff, but I do know the truth.
Amen.
You know? And so that's what makes me have confidence that I can live and make a difference.
Amen.
And you guys, we can all make a difference.
Amen. Amen.